they really had a win here. But again, this is what surprises me, but also excites me about the junior mining and investing world, is that that came out 3 business days ago and the stock has moved a little bit, but not much. It's like, you can still buy that today when you hear this recording, and you're still potentially going to make a lot of money.
John Fenech, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What a ride here in the precious metal markets. Gold and silver are ripping. Why are they ripping, John? Give me your thoughts.
Tariffs. You know, that's the main issue here, is that Trump was seen by a lot of people in Q4 as talking about them. He wasn't the president, obviously, at that time. And as soon as he got in January, I mean, the shots were fired, right? And the countries have fired back. And then he's fired back a second time. And now we have this April 2nd deadline coming up. So I think it's just, you know, the average investor getting on board with the fact that Trump is not kidding. This isn't a bluff. This is real. And Canada, Mexico, Colombia, China, they're all getting the memo. So we'll see how that plays out, Andy, but it's very positive for gold. You have other factors for gold as well, like the Fed, for example, right? You know, I've been pretty, since December's meeting on your show, I've only been on, I think, one since then, but I said, there's no way we do 2 cuts this year. I think we do 3, because the Fed always pulls this. They try to get markets to feel a certain way, but if you're smart enough and you've looked at the Fed for over, you know, 15, 20 years like I have, you can see that this is a bluff on their part. This is not like, this is what they want, right? Like, in a perfect world, let's just do 2 cuts. They don't have that luxury with the S&P down 10% now in just a few weeks. They're going to have to look at doing a cut in May or June for sure, in my opinion. I think it's probably more June before the sell-off. It might be May now. And do 3 total this year, which would be very bullish for gold and silver. So that's another reason that you're starting to see, you know, more action. Obviously, central bank buying continues. The U.S. dollar is considerably lower since you and I last talked. That's also a positive for gold and silver. I don't remember a backdrop in 30 plus years of doing this that I've seen anything like this. This is just when you have to be doing the homework on equities to say, okay, the metals are doing well. How do I play the equities? Because that's where I can really make some money.
You know, I agree actually with everything that you just said. I think it, especially going back to the Fed, I think they are bluffing. I think they're going to have to cut. And this is just forward thinking now with the market sniffing all of this out. The big players, the smart players are piling into gold and silver. And now we're seeing it in the equities. What's really interesting to me is you saw the broader market, the S&P sell off, but gold, the gold market, and even the equities have been, gold especially, been very, very firm, if not just bounced right back up. So that's not
right.
You know,
yeah. So I recorded an interview in Toronto March 3rd on that Monday when gold was around 2860 or 2870. And I said on Charlotte's show on INN in Canada, this is going back to 3000. You have to buy these dips. Like, this is another dip that got bought, right? It literally got bought right away. Yes, we did have some volatility again on March 10th, but that dip was bought and then some on March 11th, literally the next day. Like, unbelievable resilience. So people talk about tech being resilient. They should look at gold.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of Toronto, you and I hung out a lot in Toronto. I'd love to chat with you about that. And just if I could talk to my listeners and viewers here real briefly, I don't know how many interviews I did. I think it was John packed in 20 interviews. I followed John around John and just sat in some very interesting stories as well. Met all the CEOs and really dug deep into their companies. What were some of your favorite companies or some of the companies that you really liked when I was following you around?
Sure. So let me just say right up front that, you know, I'm fortunate, since really banging the phones in 2008's crisis, to get to know some major players in our sector like Rick Rule, Mitch Krebs, Keith Neumeyer. I met a lot of these guys by just calling them and asking them, really not knowing what I was even doing at that time. Like, what's going on with this environment? Why isn't your stock doing better, right? Because if you look back in 2008, it was not until 2009 that GDXJ took off. It literally took months for GDXJ to take off. That's something that I'll just share with your listeners, because I get that question a lot from investors, like, why aren't gold and silver stocks doing better? Trust me, look at history. GDXJ just rocked in 2009 into 2010. It was up over 150%. So that time is coming again where we see a rally in equities. So that's why you and I did all that work last week in Toronto. It's like, I wanted to show you and the other clients I have with that these guys are still needing capital, which is, you know, just part of junior mining. You're always going to need to raise money. So why don't we start with, you know, highlighting a couple of the companies that either have been raising money or just announced they raised money or closed money, because this is important for clients to understand. When you do a financing, you're potentially diluting the shareholders almost all the time, right? And so that's going to be a negative for the share price for us, like the existing shareholders, but it's also a positive in the sense that the stock probably isn't going to get gained anymore past that, right? Because if the company raises 5, 6, 7, they're out of the woods and now they're cashed up for probably the whole year. So one that's been gamed recently is Denarius, DNRSF in the States, DMET in Canada. You and I met with the CFO, Mike Davies. Mike has worked with the CEO, Serafino, and chairman there for 18 years. And, you know, these guys are in Colombia. Serafino has a very impressive track record at Aris Mining, a much bigger company in Colombia. And now they're building a mine in Colombia that literally is going to production in a few weeks. And the stock is trading at 29 cents US. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, yes. Okay. Take the stock down a little bit for the financing, but it's actually trading, I think, 6 cents lower than the financing price. The financing was done at 50 Canadian. So when you do the math, I think that's 34 or something US. And it's trading at 29. It's like, come on. I mean, we're in a $3,000 gold environment here. So you have to buy those dips, right? So we have bids out on Denarius in full disclosure, because we want to pick up more shares on the cheap here. And Mike had explained to us that it's not just their Colombia project they're excited about. They have a Spanish project that they're working on to go into production by December 31st. So it's like, you're going to get two producing gold mines from a company right now that literally is a developer, right? Like, as we record this, they are not a producer, but they're going to be, and they're going to get across the finish line. Another one that comes to mind in terms of our meetings was Triumph Gold. That's TIGCF in the States, TIG in Canada. And your listeners will look at that website and say, what is John talking about? These guys haven't had news for 14, 16 months. And that's what caught my attention. That's how I cold called John Anderson. I did not have a relationship with John until a month ago. And I just said, hey man, this is an interesting project you have here. But of course it is in the Yukon, and because of the troubles with Victoria and Banyan, like you're getting probably smacked because of the proximity to those projects. Am I wrong? And he said, no, you're absolutely right. Yukon has been challenging, but, you know, he said, look, historically Yukon is just an awesome place to produce going back decades, and he's not wrong. So as a value manager, we looked at that and said, okay, when are you raising money? And he's like, we're going to raise a couple million bucks here and surprise the market, because, you know, I have hackers and I've got large guys like Michael Gentile who are in my stock. People just don't read, you know, the 10K or the 10Q and understand where our investors are and the fact that I'm buying in the open market and I own a big chunk. So we did the math on their share structure. Between John and five other entities, they've got 40% of the float. I mean, so when you're looking at the share structure, it's not blown out at all. I think it's 42, 43 million shares. And then 45% of that, let's say, is tied up, like no one's selling that. It's a tight stock. So I think Triumph is something to look at going forward. I'll give you one more and then I'll let you chime in. I'd like to get your opinion. We met with quite a few people. Lion One Metals, LOMLF in the States, LIO in Canada. The reason I liked this one, they announced the CEO change Wally has been leading the company for many years. He's just getting older, and he and Ian Berzins, the new CEO, have been friendly. And Ian and I go back probably 5 years. I mean, he's just a really high quality person. He's always looking out for shareholders. All the people I've introduced to him always said positive things about how Ian's responsive and he's professional. And, you know, that does that mean that it's a great project? No, that's just part of the thing, right? Management is part of the equation. But I know I'm never going to get lied to by Ian. And that's important for me as an investor. We met with Ronan, who is their CEO, you and I, and Ronan had a bunch of rocks in his backpack. Was showing off the quality of their project there in Fiji. And, you know, we asked some questions about that because Fiji is a jurisdiction not a lot of us know, but it's a very friendly jurisdiction. And the stock has just been getting swarmed by selling. You can see it on the chart. I think that's going to change in a hot gold environment. You know, they just cashed up, so they did a raise again, their company here. So it'll need cash now for a number of months. So that's one that we're strictly interested in because they are producing, right? So this isn't an Explorco that's going to produce in 5 years. They are producing as we speak. So I'll turn it over to you and fill in some blanks.
Yeah. Hey, you put me on the hot seat. Yeah. So again, I just want to give our viewers and listeners some context to this. We did 20 plus meetings. John, I, and Steve did 20 plus meetings over 2 days. It was just, we just grinded it out. And it was awesome. I just learned a lot about how you worked and just really not only how you work, but you really just got to go in and put CEOs on the spot. And I just really encourage all listeners and viewers to do that. Putting it on the spot in the sense of just ask some just really important questions. What do you got in the ground? Do you know? Let's pull back the onion here. What's your share structure like? I like to be around 100 to 200 grand. I mean, 200 million, not higher than that. I mean, I'll make exceptions. I do like it even tighter than that, but yeah. Jurisdiction is very important to me, just in the sense of I'm going to be compensated, if it's a riskier jurisdiction, where's the stock trading at? But to answer your question, three stood out to me, Aftermath, we had lunch with Mike, a fantastic, fantastic company. They're going to rip and they have been ripping, but they're going to rip more as silver progresses, I think onward and upwards to 50. I think Mike has a great team. You got a lot of great stuff in the ground.
Well, I will point out something else before you move on Aftermath. I've known Michael Williams for 5 years. Michael is just like Ian. These guys are like honest to a fault. They're like, hey, look, you might want to sell some shares. The stock is up a lot. You know, like that's the kind of guys these are. And you really appreciate that as an investor because, you know, many times CEOs are not like, they're like, why would you ever consider selling my stock? I'm so great. Well, hey, guess what? Have to sell to make money eventually. Like it's not a bad thing to make profits. We teach our investors this. Like we're not flipping stocks, but we're definitely looking at a 1 to 3 year hold. And if the thesis changes, we're moving on. Like that's just how it is. You have to deliver as a company as well, right? So Michael has delivered for Aftermath shareholders. Eric Sprock came into the stock heavily in September, October, following a presentation that Michael had done for him at Beaver Creek. And he put 15 million more in, and now he owns 24% of AAG. And, you know, show me how many stocks Eric owns more than 19.9% of. It's not a long list. So, you know, this is telling you something. Like the manganese is what got his attention. It's not just the silver and the copper. It's like, oh, so when you do go into production, you've got this potential revenue stream here because they have pure manganese. They have 99% battery grade. So it's not like this news that they had about a year ago was insignificant.
Yeah. And, you know, and Michael really, he explained it to me in a way that was really easy to understand. It's like, just think of it as that is your warrant on the silver, which I thought, yeah, okay, yeah. Got it. So, but anyways, very impressed with them. I am a shareholder, just for full disclosure. I bought some at the lunch table with John and Michael when I was, I texted my portfolio manager and he started buying up for me. Another one that I really liked, and you got me into this. This was, I do have a question about this. This was about 5 to 6 months ago, is Terry Lynch with Power. We used to Power Nickel. Now it's Power. I want to make sure I get the name right. Power Metallic.
Correct. Yeah. They changed their names to kind of reflect that they're not just a nickel company. They're more of a copper play.
Yeah. They're not just a nickel company. They're a play on a lot of metals, like copper, nickel. I believe silver, John.
Their main components are nickel, copper, and platinum right now. But they're going to expand that. It's a polymetallic deposit in my.
Yeah, no, it really is. I think this is not only a world class hit. I think this is a huge play on Terry. Terry is this charismatic, larger than life figure that knows his stuff. And what I mean by that, you want that because he is actively out there selling the company. He flew to the Middle East. I want to say, or got in from the Middle East right before us or right after us. And then he was going over to Asia, over to Korea again, cutting deals with some big vendors over there to buy his product. So you need that kind of guy. Think of it like a frontman, an old band, if you would, or think of a Steve Jobs kind of player to tech. That's what Terry is. So a world-class deposit with just this larger in life, very charismatic, will do anything, go anywhere for his company and his shareholders. So I'm still an owner of Power. I wrote it up, but still own it. And want to get your opinion on more of the upside there, because I think that chart might scare a little bit of people just because they've had such a great run. What more upside do you see?
So with junior mining stocks, like Rick Rule taught me, you know, you're going to have to buy a basket of stocks. One or two are going to be stellar. Some are going to be average and some will be absolute duds. And if you buy that basket, you're going to make a lot of money. Power Nickel last year finished as the number three ranked junior in total performance, regardless of subsector in the commodities world. I think they were up like 250-300% in 1 year. So yeah, if you look at that as a value investor, which we are, you have to rethink things and say, is this still a value stock or is this leading more growth? I think they have more upside because the junior just raised over $40 million. They were oversubscribed in their recent raise. It just happened a few weeks ago. Ron McEwen came in for a third time, billionaire, right? You had Ivanhoe's Robert Friedland come in for a second time in 12 months. I would argue a huge player in nickel, maybe the biggest globally in nickel copper, right? And that's a huge endorsement of what they're doing going forward. So a lot of times, you know, Andy, a company like that, when I met Terry 18 months ago, they were not flush with cash. Terry was bootstrapping the company a lot of times with maybe four other big investors. And that was like, you know, like you had said, a real good reference for his character and who he is, like that he would do that, because it's easy as a junior company to just close the doors. It's much easier to do that or not be supportive or just put things on hold for months and months and months, right? Because it was tough when we met in that environment in 2023. But now the stock has gone up multiples from there. And what they had is a huge short problem. They had a naked short selling problem on that stock. I see that right now with American Tungsten, which is DEMRS in the States and TUNG in Canada. In fact, I also talked to Contango Ore today, CTGO in the States. Both companies have shown me, you know, information. This isn't like I'm pulling this out of the air, that their stock is being heavily shorted, whether it's regular shorts or naked shorts. It really doesn't matter. These people are both be burned over the course of time because tungsten's going up, period. And Contango Ore is just a value stock. It's gone from 20 to $9. It's in the US, right? Their project in Alaska has got a lot of upside potential at higher gold prices because Kinross is their partner there, and Kinross is conservative in terms of their estimate. I think like last year they were estimating, you know, 30 to 35,000 ounces, came up with 42,000 ounces, right? So like they want to grow that to a much bigger number this year. And so as value managers, we look for not only a stock like that is clearly a value stock, but then something like Power Nickel, which still provides value of these sets.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you brought up Contango Ore, and just full disclosure to all of our listeners and viewers, Contango Ore is a sponsor of my channel. I am also invested in Contango Ore. Rick is one of those Terry types, if you would, again, a larger than life figure. And I mean that with the highest, you need that guy I would want somebody like that at the forefront. He's the guy that's going to scratch, crawl, do whatever it takes to support the shareholders and the company. And I met with him at in Toronto at PDAC, and that interview should be dropping soon. Same kind of thing. Just this guy that's going to get it done. And was really confusing to me is just how much stock that just that stock got hammered. And it got hammered because it was just they couldn't truck as much during the winter over a bridge. And that's what that was it. Really, that was it.
Well,
it was,
well, go ahead. It shows you that in tax law season, which was, you know, roughly November 1st through December 31st, you have to be really careful about any stocks that you own, because any whiff of bad news, it gets exacerbated in that time of year. And that's a very good buying opportunity if you know what to look for. I saw a couple of crazy spikes down last year that we bought. One was Gold Resource Corp, GORO in the States. We bought that first at 15 cents on the dip. It got absolutely smoked on a miss, right? Okay, it was fair that it got smoked, but not by that much. It went from 55 cents to 15 cents. It probably went lower in literally a week. It's just like, okay, I mean, they're not going out of business. So what's going on here? You know, now the stock's trading at 51 cents as we record this. So it's up 300%+ for us in less than 6 months. I mean, it's like, these are the kind of dips you have to buy when you see a Contango or a Goro smoked. You just have to call someone like Rick or call Goro and find out, hey, what's the real story here based on your press release?
Excellent. Well, that was really on my list, I guess, with people that stood out. Actually, I have a bigger list, but you already hit on them. Any parting thoughts you want to give to our viewers and listeners here going into the weekend?
Yeah, I wanted to mention one more, and that's Anchor Resources, which just had life-altering news this week for a company of their size. So on March 4th, I'll give you the tickers first. It's AMK in Canada, ANKOF in the States. Delaine's a great leader. She is married as a CEO to her GO, Mike. They literally buy the open market like every quarter. I've never seen this kind of buying in a junior where it's just a regular thing for them. Like, hey, we believe in what we're doing and we're just going to keep buying cheap shares. I love it. You know? So they came out with news March 4th that said, hey, we're advancing the project. We're raising money, and we successfully raised about $5 million. The stock was at 8 cents US then. It's now at 12 and a half US because they came out with a great news item on March 12th, which said, you know, we're going to possibly be one of the largest oil producers in Cambodia. Cambodia's got 16.3 million people. This is not a country that is energy independent. It is dependent for sure. And so how about if a 12 cent US stock were able to produce oil in a place like that and be a leader? Like, the stock's going to go up, you know, exponentially from here, in my opinion, exponentially meaning, you know, easily 50 to 100% over the course of a year in a hotter oil market, right? So you look for little stocks like this, that if you believe in the Trump narrative of drill, baby, drill, then how is that not going to be good for oil prices in his 4 year, you know, run here? And so we're trying to bottom fish that sector as well for names like Anchor, where they're just doing everything correctly. The market just hasn't recognized this yet. And as you know, Andy, most of the names we mentioned today don't have a single analyst covering them, because these are stocks all under $2. So, you know, that's the opportunity, is finding names that people just are going to do the homework on and analysts are going to shut.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Anchor. I am an investor as well in Anchor, and they're a sponsor to my show. I did not know that John was going to mention any of these companies before we started.
No, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't do that. But I'm glad you brought them up. I love Delaine. Great leader, very kind, but not only kind, just very, very trustworthy, I find. And yeah. But I love the project as much as I love Delaine. I love the project even more. I mean, they're going to be the only onshore oil well. They just got permitted to be the only onshore oil well in Cambodia. Think about that for a second. That's huge. If you want to generate generational wealth, that's how you do it. Just right.
The contract is, I think 30 years, and it's insane. It's like they really had a win here. But again, this is what surprises me, but also excites me about the junior mining and investing world, is that that came out 3 business days ago, and the stock has moved a little bit, but not much. It's like you can still buy that today when you hear this recording, and you're still potentially going to make a lot of money. I looked up last night. So there's a thing called market depth when you look at level 2 quotes, as I do, and you want to see out, right? You want to see, okay, if this stock's trading at 18 cents Canadian, how many sellers do I have at 20, 22, 24, 26, right? And there's a clear path from 18 to 26. There's like hardly any sellers out there at the moment when we record this. So, you know, it probably could move another 15 to 20% over the next few weeks as people start to realize that this is really big news for them.
Excellent. All right. Any parting thoughts before we go into the weekend, John?
Sure. I'll shamelessly plug our conference in Atlanta, because that's where you live. And you brought this idea to me probably about 6 to 9 months ago. And I told you, you had to have a certain number of things for me to look at it, because I'm super busy and I'm already running Florida, which is going to be a second year conference now, May 11th through the 13th at Four Seasons for Lauderdale, right on the beach. Great conference last year. We had about 30 companies and we'll probably do 30 to 40 companies this year. So for people looking for more information about that or our Atlanta conference, we'll put it in the show notes, hopefully, but it'll be topshelf-partners.com. That you can click, you know, our conference in Atlanta, or you can click Florida. But yeah, you and I teamed up on this because we saw 3,000 golds when we talked about this in Q4, right? And we said, by the time our conference happens, we'll probably have a great environment. Investors could learn a lot in a conference like this. And maybe you could just close by telling people a little bit about what you told me off camera with Rick Rule and Doug Casey and, you know, guys that have spoken in Atlanta over the years and what it used to be.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You put me on the spot here. So let me give you a little bit of backstory. I kind of bugged John about having a conference. I wasn't going to do it, but it was about a year ago. We became friends over the past 18 months. And then in January, I don't remember how exactly when it went down, but we just put our hands together and we literally wrote it on the back of a napkin. We're going to do a conference in Atlanta. And just the interest, both on the company side, has been overwhelming, as well as the interest on the buy side. Atlanta is extremely strong. And a lot of people, I knew this, but a lot of people don't know it, is just the following for natural resource stocks in Atlanta. I knew that, but it was just very, very surprising to me. And I think that actually surprised you a lot. So we got a lot of people that are putting their names down to come. If you are an accredited investor, if you are a fund, or if you are an independent broker, we'd love to have you. Just shoot me an email at andy@naturalresourcestocks.net, and we'll get you out some paperwork to fill out, and then hopefully get you approved and to come in here. But we do screen. We want people that are really interested in the space. But again, it's just been overwhelming. Pleasantly overwhelming is the word. You mentioned Rick and Doug Casey. Well, I've become friends. I'll say this, friendly with Rick. I've told him he's been my mentor here. John has been my mentor as well. And Rick's been a mentor of yours throughout the years, John. Yep. And I will just say that off camera, Rick raved about Atlanta and just said, yeah, I used to come to Atlanta all the time. It's beautiful. They have a lot of hikers there, a lot of people there very interested in natural resource stocks. So he gave it quite the thumbs up. And I'll leave with this, just all of our viewers and listeners, use your own imagination. We don't need them, but we're talking to some well-known people that potentially come to Atlanta. Use your imagination about that. So, and we'll have John. John's probably the hottest name out there right now. So I'm very grateful to have you coming and helping me put this on. We're doing it together. So.
Well, it's very kind of you to say, but I'm just one of many. I work harder than just about anyone I know, though. So you can outwork people. If, you know, next year you probably have to bring some sneakers to Toronto so you don't hurt yourself, you know, and walking around so much there.
That is the truth. We're going to end on that. And that's my thoughts on John. I've been working all my whole life, and John's at the top of the list about people that just grind it out and work really hard for things he loves in his clients. So thank you for that. But no more about that. We're going to end. Thank you, John. I'll put everything we discussed in the show notes. I'm sure we'll be talking next week sometime.
Sounds great, Eddie. Thank you.